Following is a KTCK Sports presentation. It's time to go live to the Ballard Burger Bar inside the American Airlines Center for the Tickets Dallas Mavericks postgame show. Brought to you by Arthritis Relief Institute. Hoop hot sports opinions with the voice of the Mavs, Mark Folliwell. The Tickets own NBA junkie, Jake Kemp. And Mavs in the know-it-all, Brian Damaris. On Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Tip.
It's 8:57 here on Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. This is the postgame show. Jake Kemp is out. Myself, Ryan Medellin, filling in across the way, Brian Damaris. The Mavs game is not over yet. It's 88-85 with 10:40 to go in the fourth quarter. But we are coming on air early because there has been some groundbreaking news that has hit the NBA world and the sports world personally throughout the night, from when the game started to where we are now, where we've decided to come on air early and talk to you and kind of let you know out there listening what is going on. The NBA season, until further notice, has been suspended. Per multiple sources, I know Woj tweeted out a Woj bomb that I think is one of the top five Woj bombs of all time. Shams tweeted it out. Everybody's talking about it now. I want to talk about how we got here, Brian, and I'm going to bring you in now because it has been a wild night. A lot of information is out there.
Yeah, let's start at the top with the official statement from the NBA. The NBA announced that a player on the Utah Jazz, parentheses, it's Rudy Gobert, has preliminarily tested positive for COVID-19. The test result was reported shortly prior to the tip-off of tonight's game between the Jazz and Oklahoma City Thunder at Chesapeake Energy Arena in Oklahoma City. At this time, tonight's game was canceled. The affected player was not in the arena. The NBA is suspending gameplay following the conclusion of tonight's schedule of games until further notice. The NBA will use this hiatus to determine next steps we're moving forward in regards to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, since then, we've learned that the Thunder and the Jazz, who are in Oklahoma City, have been temporarily quarantined in their locker rooms. Players on both teams, and I'm assuming staff and coaches, will be tested tonight.
This is just the beginning of what I think was every sports league out there, their worst fear, and they were trying to get ahead of it. We saw around 2 o'clock today, the sports world really started to take effect. I know earlier in the week, there was the news about Santa Clara with declaring no mass gatherings more than 1,000 people, which would affect the San Jose Sharks. And then we saw San Francisco say, around the same similar lines, excuse me, no mass gatherings more than this amount of people, which was going to affect Golden State, and their game tomorrow night, I believe it was. And that was going to be the first game played in front of no fans. And that was, at 2 o'clock today, a huge shock to the sports world that they would proceed with the season with no fans in the stands. March Madness saying that there will be no fans in attendance. You saw first the Ivy League in NCAA cancel their entire tournament, conference tournament, and then all these other conference tournaments are saying we're going to keep playing, but there's not going to be fans there. That freaked us out. That freaked out the sports world, saying how could this happen? How could they play with no fans? A lot of people were out there saying, I think they're being overly cautious here. What they were trying to do is avoid exactly what we saw tonight when the Utah Jazz and the OKC Thunder were about to tip off, where a medical doctor rushed out onto the court, and this is per reports that we've seen online, rushed out onto the court and halted everything, spoke with the officials.
Right before tip-off,
spoke with the officials, spoke with everybody and said, we cannot have this game start until we figure out what's going on with Rudy Gobert. He was then taken to a hospital. This is just the beginning of what I think was every sports league out there, their worst fear, and they were trying to get ahead of it. We saw around 2 o'clock today, the sports world really started to take effect. I know earlier in the week, there was the news about Santa Clara with declaring no mass gatherings more than 1,000 people, which would affect the San Jose Sharks. And then we saw San Francisco say, around the same similar lines, excuse me, no mass gatherings more than this amount of people, which was going to affect Golden State and their game tomorrow night, I believe it was. And that was going to be the first game played in front of no fans. And that was, at 2 o'clock today, a huge shock to the sports world that they would proceed with the season with no fans in the stands. March Madness saying that there will be no fans in attendance. You saw first the Ivy League in NCAA cancel their entire tournament, conference tournament. And then all these other conference tournaments are saying, we're going to keep playing, but there's not going to be fans there. That freaked us out. That freaked out the sports world, saying, how could this happen? How could they play with no fans? A lot of people were out there saying, I think they're being overly cautious here. What they were trying to do is avoid exactly what we saw tonight when the Utah Jazz and the OKC Thunder were about to tip off, where a medical doctor rushed out onto the court, and this is per reports that we've seen online, rushed out onto the court and halted everything, spoke with the officials.
Right before tip-off,
spoke with the officials, spoke with everybody and said, we cannot have this game start until we figure out what's going on with Rudy Gobert. He was then taken to a hospital where we have since learned he did test positive for coronavirus. And then it was within a matter of minutes, I'd like to think maybe it was 5 to 10 minutes, that we get the tweet that was sent out, heard around the world, that the NBA has suspended its season now.
Indefinitely.
And a lot of people are out there asking, well, I'm watching the Mavs right now. They're playing.
And as I read in the statement, at the conclusion of tonight's schedule.
Right.
So if we step back to what happened yesterday, yesterday is when the media was banned from the locker rooms and they set up the new media protocols. And as you mentioned, the reason for that was to protect the players from getting the virus. Now, it's not selfish that, oh, all we care about is the players, but the reason that that is important is exactly to prevent exactly what happened tonight, because once one player gets it, then the whole team is theoretically going to get quarantined, and even if they're not showing symptoms or test negative. And at that point, then the whole schedule goes away, because then that team is taken out of the mix. So what you saw even yesterday was the NCAA saying, we have not been told by a health official that we should cancel our tournament. They're going to go forward with the tournament as planned. This morning around 11 a.m. when the doctor Fauci came on in the congressional hearing, and when he's the lead health official for the U.S., and when he said that he doesn't recommend the NBA playing games, for answering a specific question about the NBA, that's when everything turned. That's when you saw the NCAA, who yesterday said, we haven't been told by a health official not to hold our tournament. Well, now they have. When they canceled, then the owners had a meeting, scheduled meeting. Board of Governors and owners had a call today, and the consensus was, as recently as 6:30 tonight, that they were going to play games without fans going forward. Now, the official decision was going to be made Thursday, but that is what the vote was on the call, and that's where Silver was leaning. Once this news came out about Gobert, it quickly changed to a indefinite suspension.
Mark Cuban is speaking with both ESPN and Fox Sports Southwest right now, and we'll get that audio for a little bit later, but just kind of highlighting some of the things that he's saying. He's saying stunning isn't the right word. It's crazy. This isn't just about basketball. This is a way bigger thing than just basketball. Also something, Brian, that you and I were talking about, and this may be too early to bring this up, but it is something that you have to think about and you have to worry about, is all these hourly workers that are, their livelihood is now in question because of this suspension of the season. That's work that they're not getting. Mark Cuban did address that, saying they're going to put together a program for them. I don't have specifics on that, but I know that's something that you and I had talked about, and they were talking about on the station earlier today. I heard Corby and Robert Wolanski talking about that, and you have to think of it not just as the players and the fans, but so many people depending on this league and these games for their livelihood and to feed their families and things like that. So to hear that Mark Cuban saying that they're going to put together a program for him, that's definitely some good news.
Yes, and that's something that I've thought a lot about. And listen, public health is absolutely number one, and that's what we care about. And there have been a handful of cases here in Dallas County. But I think what happened to Gobert actually, accelerated everything, because then, you're talking about, how long is that incubation period before signs are, before the signs show themselves? So, you showed me a clip on Twitter of Gobert kind of joking around Monday during shoot-around in a press briefing, touching all the mics, touching reporters' equipment. Well, he probably, was transferable with the virus at that point when he was joking around, even though he wasn't showing symptoms. So things like that come into play. I talked to a handful of employees. I made a point to talk to them today at the AAC. They have been told absolutely nothing from at any level about what would happen, whether they would get compensated. It's really good to hear Cuban saying that will be addressed. This is all happening in real time. This is in no way to criticize anybody, because this is all uncharted territory. And obviously, as we just outlined, things are happening at warp speed. So it's good that he has mentioned that there'll be something. Obviously, he doesn't have that kind of plan in place. But, you know, listen, there's a public health issue. You know, not to say that Rudy Gobert is more important than anybody, but that stops the games from being played. And you can see how quickly this thing, you know, from family that he may have come in contact with, et cetera, how this can spread news. You know, Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, have this. So it's hitting all corners, you know, rich and poor.
Want to reset here. This is the Mavs postgame show. Jake Kemp is out. He's actually on his way up here right now, though, and he will join us. We're going to try and get everybody we can to talk about this because
Mark
this
Falwell
is...
Mark Falwell will join us as soon as the game is over.
Mark Falwell will be here, the TV play-by-play voice of the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, anybody and everybody, because this is groundbreaking as the NBA suspends their season.
Well, funny you say that. You know, you're a big fan of the Stars, as we all are here at the flagship. You know, is there any doubt that they would probably have to follow suit very closely?
So I'm seeing that the NHL will make a statement tomorrow. There's no plans from what I'm seeing for them to suspend their season right now. But I think one of the things you have to think about is a lot of these NBA and NHL teams share arenas. They share locker rooms. They share common spaces. And when you have one player that comes down with this disease, it starts with his immediate team, but as you've seen in the news and everyday life, somebody who comes back from a trip and tests positive for the coronavirus, they're tracing back their steps of their life for the past week and a half, 2 weeks, seeing who they interacted with, who, where they've been, all these certain things that play a factor into figuring out how, what the impact of this person's disease and how they may have spread it. And I can only imagine the process that'll be for the NBA, going on previous, you know, the previous road trips they were on. Personnel, did he high five any of the workers as he was walking into the arena or things like that? But yeah, so Mavs, they're still playing right now. There's 8.5 to go in the fourth quarter. They're leading 96-88, but that is just a footnote on what is happening here tonight. As
To reiterate, the NBA has suspended play indefinitely. You know, at the conclusion of tonight's games, there will be no game in Golden State tomorrow. There will be no game Saturday. There's a lot of moving parts to this. One of the reasons that the owners and board of governors voted to play games in empty arenas is that a lot of the arenas are booked in the summer. And so they don't know what the schedule is like, into July. Also, you know, the Olympics and we don't know if the Olympics are going to occur. There is the school of thought that the virus does dissipate in the warmer months of the summer. So possibly that could happen, but you know, you can only go so far, with the schedule. You know, absolutely, until they can get some kind of look at, you know, the acute situation with Rudy and the Jazz and the Thunder. Again, as we mentioned, even if you don't have symptoms showing, you can absolutely have the virus and be transferable with it. And so that's the fear.
Well, they said even, too, that as of this morning, Rudy Gobert was ready to play. He felt fine, didn't feel fatigued. He felt ready to play. And then something happened between that time and tip off where things went south for him and he got taken to the hospital and tested positive for coronavirus. I'm also seeing this, Brian, is that the NHL is going to make a statement tonight. The PGA Tour is going to make a statement tomorrow. But right now, all the major sports leagues, I mean, you think about where
this
we are.
This has to be a snowball effect at some point because they want to prevent exactly what happened to the NBA.
Right, exactly. But think about exactly where we are in the sports world right now. Championships are months away. Close. I mean that, and they're coming up. This is the time you're pushing for playoffs, and you're making, especially for the NHL, you know, the Stars are trying to push for the playoffs right now. NBA, things are starting to shake out. The Masters is coming up. I mean, you mentioned the Olympics. This is a crucial time in sports, and for all of this to be coming to a head right now, the timing has been, it's been insane of when this has all happened, but just from, you know, when you and I got to the game tonight, I kind of want to give a little behind the curtain. You know, you and I were talking about what had happened with the NCAA and how that was the crazy story of the day, that they were going to clear out the stands. They're going to move them to smaller arenas, I've since learned, too, as well, as to not use the big venues
for
these games.
That's another question, right? Are we getting to the point where that's not even a tenable solution, playing in empty arenas? Right? Does the NCAA come out and say that, you know, they're actually going to suspend the tournament? Because even at those precautionary levels, you know, they can't risk the student athletes, you know, getting exposed in and of themselves or some way internally. And the other issue is, you know, the Big 12 tournament had fans in the stands tonight, but tomorrow, they were saying, and for the rest of the tournament, they were going to play in empty arenas. Do those tournaments halt play? I mean, because we've seen such a rapid development of how the news has happened today from, you know, 2 o'clock or, you know, at noon today, everything was fine to the suspension of one of the biggest leagues at a crucial time. I think anything is on the table here and stuff is breaking, you know, as we speak.
It's been absolutely insane. You had mentioned to me that this felt like, you know, one of the weirdest Mavs games you've ever been to. And there was just a vibe kind of across the media of what's going on. Like, you know, and you could see the reaction of the fans once they were looking down at their phones when that tweet hit. And there's been a video posted of Mark Cuban where when he got the news, he got blown back in his chair and he started laughing. He's like, is that real? Is that a real account? Because we live in such a world right now where there's fake accounts everywhere.
We saw a fake account mention Emmanuel Mudiay's name that was widely tweeted out by NBA people on NBA Twitter. That was proven false. We've got, just to, so everybody knows, we've got Bob, Corby, we've got a bunch of people calling in, joining us. Bob is actually on the line right now, so let's bring him in. Bob from vacation. Bob Sturm, crazy happenings right now.
How's your night, Bob?
Hey, guys. Well, I was watching the band. Well, overlooking Lake Tahoe, it's delightful, and things got weird.
Sounds a lot more calm than what we've experienced here in Dallas over the past 5 or so hours. We were talking at the start of the game, the big news of the day really was the NCAA suspending having fans come to March Madness, which was groundbreaking, right? No fans, that's a big part of March Madness, and they're just going to be gone, and that was the big news. And then all of a sudden you see the rumblings of what's happening in OKC and Utah, and for a long time there wasn't confirmation on what really happened. Were you following that on Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the tournament stuff seemed weird to me, and then I guess I got cynical for a bit, because to play the games in empty arenas feels like it still leaves a lot of openings for you know, the spread of the virus, you know, amongst first of all, let me start with much like Mark Cuban so eloquently just said to Tom Rinaldi and so forth, I'm not an expert on any of this stuff, but if you're telling me we can't have gatherings and we can't have even fans at college basketball games, then I'm a little lost at how you can actually have the games, even in an empty arena. That still seems somewhat weird, unless you get cynical and say, okay, well, there's a lot of money at stake, and if you play the games in an empty arena, you could still at least get the TV revenue, which is the massive part of, you know, what any of these, you know, competitions go on these days. Is it's not really the gate anymore as much as it is, you know, TV revenue. So a little cynical about that. And then obviously, just like you guys, everything starts caving in at the same time. And now I'm kind of wondering if my flight tomorrow is in jeopardy, which, you know, I suppose you could ask, is there wisdom in flying, even if it's not in jeopardy? But these are the things on my mind right now. I don't know what you guys got going on, but I'd probably rather be in Dallas right now.
Yeah, I mean, you hear international travel canceled right off the bat. But, you know, listen, not that it's about money right now, it's about public health, but, you know, the NCAA gets about 95% of their revenue from that tournament that's supposed to start next week. And
right. If
you're seeing that maybe the empty arena plan isn't tenable, that's a huge deal for them to postpone that, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, which is why I would think they would do everything in their power not to postpone it. And so where do the dominoes stop, right? I mean, the baseball season's about to begin. The NBA and the NHL, I mean, surely the NHL will be suspended by morning. If you just think about all of the arenas that share locker rooms, share media rooms, share media people. There's endless sharing between those two leagues. So I think it would be ridiculous for the NHL to wait for a positive test. So, you know, I certainly don't have answers here, but once the dominoes start falling, I can't imagine that there's anybody ready to say, no, our league is going to just carry on with the plan of the day. That seems insane right now.
we're seeing now, and just to kind of update everybody, is that Rudy Gobert was never at the arena tonight. But if he had been cleared of the virus, he was set to play. I mentioned to you, Brian, that he said he was feeling fine and went to get tested for precautionary measures, is what I'm seeing. But, you know, obviously this happens. Bob, you've been covering sports for a very long time. Is this one of the craziest things, one of the craziest nights in sports you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I certainly love the oddities and the uniqueness of you never know what another day of sports is going to bring. But this one's pretty crazy because it kind of makes you wonder when we're going to have our games back. You know, clearly as I'm watching the Mavs attempt to close out a small lead here against Denver, it's difficult to say I already miss it. But you know, for those of us who really enjoy the sports world and really enjoy multiple leagues and multiple competitions and so forth and just kind of lose ourselves in it for nights or months at a time, you know, it feels like our sports page is about to go dark for a long, long time, and I don't know what that means. You know, I don't know. Will this NBA season conclude in a timely fashion? I'm surely jumping the gun here, but when we're talking about unprecedented levels of reaction already to this point, it then becomes difficult to say, okay, well, to what end? You know, when will we all feel like it's great to get 20,000 people in an arena again? And I don't have answers for that, but I can definitely tell you this is rates right up there with some pretty wacky, you know, I mean, I guess you'd have to go back to 9/11, right? Where we had, a week and a half or 2 weeks before games.
Yeah, and this is unprecedented. And as I mentioned a little earlier, you know, nobody has this in the playbook. Nobody knows what to happen, you know, what to do. And so that's why even as recently as 7 p.m., it looked like the season was going to go on with no fans in the arena. And then as soon as Rudy Gobert was diagnosed positive for coronavirus, then you have, you know, the obvious decision to go ahead and cancel games. To reiterate, the NBA has suspended indefinitely all games at the conclusion of tonight's schedule because Rudy Gobert did test positive for the coronavirus in Oklahoma City. He was not at the arena, but as a precaution, both teams have been quarantined in their locker rooms, and they will all get tested, as I'm sure the staff around them will be. You know, this has moved so fast, Bob. You know, it has to be something where if we were at this point when you left on vacation, you probably wouldn't have gone, right?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And you know, I just feel like by morning, the conference tournaments and the NHL will be dark as well. I don't see how somebody can just withstand and just act like it's no big deal. You know, once the preliminary action has been taken and we assume the Gobert test started this, but you know, maybe that's what triggered things, but I just wonder in a parallel universe if Oklahoma City and Utah played on tonight, how long it would be before the NBA or somebody would have taken action anyway, just because, you know, these dominoes have been falling here and you know, it just feels like, you know, once the White House gets involved and,
Yeah, it seemed to me that when Dr. Anthony Fauci said this morning that he recommended the NBA play in empty arenas, that was your top health official saying that. And that's when then you saw the NCAA tournament go dark, the Houston Rodeo, which if you're from Houston, that's 80,000 people a night for 3 weeks, canceled.
Yeah.
And then you saw, you know, the suspected that they were going to play this in empty arenas. To me, that was what kind of tipped it over into, okay, we're serious now. And I agree, because people have to think, you know, logically from a money perspective, the sponsors of the NCAA tournament or all these other things, they don't want to be involved in something that could be a petri dish of coronavirus. So if they're telling the people that are running that hey, we're not on board with that makes a big difference in how those decisions are made.
And as I sit here, I wonder, you know, international flights Wednesday night, I wonder about domestic flights, but I'm, you know, like I said, I'm positive we're jumping the gun, but I don't know who would have the authority to rule on that, because when you talk about unprecedented times, or at least in the modern age where any of us would have any experience in this, you know, certainly very few of us lived for pandemics past, thankfully. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I certainly realize there's a responsibility with those of us on the air to not fire up undue panic at the same time. You know, we just have to kind of talk about what we're witnessing and what we're experiencing, and it all feels like you want to stay by the channel, but at the same time, who knows when the next
domino will fall.
Yeah, the next moment of clarity, even.
If you look at what's happening in Italy, right, I mean, those streets are empty. And is that something that they were just 2 weeks ahead of where we may be on, right? I mean, that's a real... That's real.
Crazy. Yeah, it is real. I mean, we had Champions League games today in full stadiums. We, you know, over in Europe and in England and so forth. And so the UK has kind of carried on with the plan of the day, and so has the US. But I wonder if they'll even make it through the weekend without also being somewhere between reactive or extremely cautious, or, you know, who can say? That's you know, the position we're in is we're supposed to have something profound, but you know, the thing I keep coming back to is who has the expertise on this matter? And certainly those further up the food chain than us seem to have wildly changed their opinion in the last 24 hours. So I guess it's an open season for all.
Just a quick recap of where we are. This is Bob Sturm speaking with us. Yes, the Bob Sturm, even though he's on vacation, taking the time on this groundbreaking night for the NBA and pretty much what it seems like all the major sports leagues. Mavs are still playing. There's a minute 15 left. They're up 109-97 on Denver. But like we said earlier, just a footnote of the big news tonight. Bob, I want to ask you this. You said you were talking about the soccer games that were playing today. Did you happen to see that clip of Jurgen Klopp as he was walking out onto the pitch?
Oh, I did, and how crazy was that? Please describe.
Yeah, so he was walking out of the tunnel, and you know the big thing right now is with these empty stadiums, and the goal is to limit interaction between fans, players, coaches, media personnel, etc. Basically, nobody touch anybody. And as Klopp was heading out onto the field, there were a bunch of fans down holding their hands out, and he basically told them to F off. For lack of a better way of putting it. But yeah, so Rudy Gobert tests positive for coronavirus just ahead of the tip of the OKC Utah Jazz game. And then from there, I mean, if the dominoes weren't already falling with pretty much the justification that this would probably have been the last Mavs game anyway with fans in the arena. It looked like it was heading in that direction. But then the craziness of the OKC Utah Jazz game, Gobert testing positive for coronavirus, and the NBA subsequently suspending the season for indefinitely. I mean, I know you said you're not an expert, Bob, but I mean, you'd have to think, you know, when you're at this part of the season, this could last a couple of months, if not just the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes you wonder about all of the things that sort of mark our calendar. You know, it's just, are we looking at a couple weeks? Are we looking at a couple months? And what does that affect? And it's an Olympic year, and that feels doomed, if you ask me. But just simple things like concluding these seasons, you know, I'm certainly sure that there's more important things in life than figuring out who's going to raise the Stanley Cup or the Larry O'Brien this year. But at the same time, there's a lot of tentacles to this. There's a lot of ramifications. And so I don't know. If you ask me, will there be an NCAA tournament this year? Will there be the Players' Championship that would start tomorrow, right? The conference tournaments. I mean, you know, what will be the next sporting events to go off after tonight's, Sacramento-New Orleans game, which for some reason they're going to go ahead and play here at the conclusion of this Mavs-Nuggets game. So right down the road, Zion and the gang are in Sacramento, and I'm not even sure I understand what the point is of playing that game, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
those guys.
I was about to ask you that, Bob, and yeah. This is once again is Bob Sturm, the host of the primetime 3-7 show here on The Ticket, joining us from vacation, doing so ever so kindly. This should be the time you're relaxing, but one of the biggest sports stories of, dare we say, the decade, the new decade just starting, and we've already had craziness here in 2020, but Rudy Gobert testing positive for coronavirus before the OKC-Utah Jazz game, and now the NBA suspending its season. Are you surprised, and Brian and I were looking at each other in the press row, are you surprised that, first of all, that they are finishing this Mavs game, and then, like you said just now, going to play more games tonight and then suspend the season at the conclusion of these games?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, those guys heard a couple hours ago of this, you know, this season has been suspended, or at least what? Halftime of the Mavs game was probably about the moment the Woj bomb went off, I suppose.
I think it was right in the beginning of the third. I think play had started.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things in the social media world where, just like when Harrison Barnes got traded, right? Everybody knows in the crowd immediately.
Right. Yeah. And seeing Cuban's reaction was something that was, you know, kind of interesting to have the cameras fixed on him, and then he's trying to sort it out in his head. So, I get concluding the games that are being played. No sense having games half played, but starting new ones feels interesting. But then if you were to say, you know, what goes off starting tomorrow, all the conference tournaments, and a lot of them had, you know, play-in games tonight or this afternoon and so forth. But, man, I just get the feeling that the sports world might be completely dark starting tomorrow morning. I just, you know, at least domestically, just because, you know, it's almost, you almost wonder, I mean, where does reality begin and just the look, you know, we probably shouldn't be making decisions based on a bad look, if you will, but that's how these leagues work, right?
Sure. They're businesses.
They don't want to be the one league that's acting like, you know, their competition is more important than this other league. I suppose the welfare of the athletes, the welfare of the officials, and you know, just everybody should probably be a massive priority here. So, you know, do I think everybody should be panicking in the streets? No, we had a perfectly normal day out here, and I assume just about everybody did. But at a certain point, institutions, whether it be professional sports franchises or universities or school systems, and, you know, those that employ and populate their buildings with hundreds and sometimes thousands of people every day, they're probably going to have to, you know, work their way through this quite quickly and just make sure that they're part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I guess those of us who work in small numbers and radio stations and so forth, yeah, you know, we can probably still conduct our business even if we're broadcasting from our houses or something like that. I don't know. I have no idea, guys. I'm more than happy to pontificate and discuss whatever sports topics or whatever, but I don't have any idea what the next correct call is on any of this, except for those of us to kind of wait and see what the leagues decide to do.
Well, we appreciate you hopping on with us. We'll let you get back to your whiskey and board games. We will have the comments of Mark Cuban when we come back. A reminder, the NBA has suspended the league indefinitely, pending the end of tonight's games. The Dallas Mavericks do win 113-97, and we'll have Jake Folliwell and many more coming in right after this. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket.
It is the Mavs postgame show here on Sports Radio 96.7, 1310 The Ticket. The Mavs game just went final 113-97, but that is a footnote of the big story of the night. Myself, Ryan Medellin, in for Jake Kemp, who is on his way up here right now to talk with us, alongside Brian Damaris, the normal regular of this postgame show. Mavs win, but the big story of the night was the OKC-Utah Jazz game canceled just moments before tip-off as Rudy Gobert rushed to a hospital testing positive for the coronavirus, subsequently canceling the rest of the NBA season. Moments later, the news was announced that the NBA will be suspending it indefinitely. Sorry, I keep saying, you know what I mean. It's for the unforeseeable future. We're not sure of when it'll happen, but indefinitely is the word right now, and there are no signs pointing to how long this will last. And I want to bring on, we had his co-host on just in the previous segment, but we will bring on the Snake, Corby Davidson, host from 3-7. as this has been one wild-ass night in sports. And I know the big story of the day for you guys, Corby, during the Hardline was March Madness announcing there will be no fans in the stands, and that was the crazy news, and we thought that was crazy. How about this?
Corby, are you there?
You got me now?
There he is. Corby, what's going on? Okay. Your reaction to this indefinite suspension of the NBA season?
Man, it's insane. We were talking about it today, and it's funny, we mentioned this. I cannot believe it happened literally within an hour after we were talking about it.
By the way, the Pelicans Kings have just been canceled, the late game. We were talking about whether they would complete the schedule tonight, and the Pelicans Kings game tonight has been canceled.
That's too bad for Buddy Hield. So we were talking about this scenario where if one guy tested positive on any team, then the season was over because you had to quarantine the rest of that team, and then you got to wait 2 weeks, and then there's just no making up for it. So all it took was one human being testing positive, and then basically all the rest of the team had to be quarantined, and that's it. It's over. And so it happened an hour after we talked about it, and it doesn't surprise me. I mean, you're just following basic protocol of what everybody else in the country is having to do. This is just on a much bigger, more public scale. I'm assuming that they'll have the playoffs at some point. I don't know.
It's all up in the air, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You're almost done with the season. So if you wanted to just say we're done with the regular season, let's just wait this thing out. And, maybe in early June, you can start the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know. And maybe it can all be best three out of five instead of 4-7. And I don't know. I mean, I'm talking out of my ass right now. They may not even be able to do anything, and the season may be over.
Well, here's a statement from the Utah Jazz that just came out. This morning, a player on the Jazz tested negative for influenza, strep, and an upper respiratory infection. The symptoms diminished over the course of the day. However, in a precautionary measure, in a consultation with the NBA, the decision was made to test for COVID-19. A preliminary positive result came back right before tip-off of the game. Subsequently, the decision was made to postpone the game. So they are working closely, and the player, who is Rudy Gobert, is in the care of health officials in OKC. So that is a statement from the Utah Jazz.
Didn't they send Moutier to...
No, that was a false account.
Okay. Okay.
But the two teams have been quarantined in their locker rooms as of our last message, and are all being tested. And again, you've had a doctor on just yesterday with Saroy talking about this. I mean, as far as I understand, it can be transferred without even symptoms showing. So if he had been a carrier for the last couple of days, you have to go back to everybody he went in contact with.
Corby, you there?
I think we lost. There he is.
You in a tunnel or something, Corby?
He's in his side yard, which has really bad reception.
I don't know what's happening, but you think about this with Gobert. It sounds like that he was getting better, and so probably like so many people with this weirdo disease, we're all going to come in contact with it at some point. There's a good, not all, but, a big majority of us, and it's all going to go like that. Well, we're going to feel a little bit weird, and then after a couple of days, we're going to be fine. And that sounds like they thought that he was good enough to play tonight.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So, he's fine, but he still tested positive, and so you got to go through the whole rigmarole and dog and pony show, the quarantine. And, I get it. I shouldn't call it a dog and pony show, but that's probably – he probably will be a very good case study or a public figure case study for what we're all – or what a lot of people are headed toward, and that is you're going to get some form of a cold and you're going to feel cruddy and then you're going to be fine and then the end. And then if that was your grandpa, though, they'd be wiped to the mat.
For those just now tuning in, the Mavs win 113-97, and on a night where the big story should have been Boban scoring 31 points – it's just a footnote to what has actually happened as the NBA suspends its season indefinitely after Rudy Gobert test positive for coronavirus. The OKC-Utah Jazz game canceled just moments before tip-off, and then the news came out later that the NBA had its first case of coronavirus hitting a player, which was the league's biggest fear. Corby, we got to hit a quick break here. Can we keep you over, and we'll bring in Jake Camp on the other side?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This is the Mavs postgame show with Ryan Medin, Brian Damaris, and we will have Jake Kemp and Corby Davidson coming up next right here on...
All right, 9:43 here on the ticket. Jake Kemp, Ryan Medlin, Brian Damaris. In what is nominally your Dallas Mavericks postgame show after the Mavericks win, shorthanded 113-97, Boban with 31-17, but will almost certainly be the last time we see Boban for a while, perhaps this year. As the NBA season has been indefinitely suspended due to concerns over the coronavirus, the COVID-19 outbreak. Brian, you want to update that referee situation here real quick?
Yeah, so Courtney Kirkland, so the Pelicans-Kings game, initially the suspension was at the conclusion of all of tonight's league games. Well, the Pelicans-Kings was a late game. That has been canceled. Courtney Kirkland, the referee of that game, was the referee of the Monday night Jazz game. And, of course, since he came into contact with Rudy Gobert as a precautionary measure, they have canceled the Pelicans-Kings game. So that is the latest update on that. And we will have the audio from Mark Cuban and Rick Carlisle's comments. But let's get back to Corby Davidson, who has called in. Corby, do you expect the NHL, the NCAA tournament, et cetera, to follow suit here shortly?
I don't know. Can you guys hear me, by the way?
Yes.
You sound great.
Okay, good. Okay. I honestly don't know. I this is so weird. I just assumed after today that none of these people would test positive in the NBA, you know, because it is such a small number that when it's all said and done, let's say when we max out, it's still going to be a small percentage of people that test positive. So you kind of figured that these guys might be a little bit insulated, and so I didn't expect it to happen. I just expected everything to be played at an empty stadium, right? I thought that was going to be worst-case scenario and that the season wouldn't be canceled. I know they threw out there that they'd like to suspend things for a month or whatever, and that got voted down. So I don't know where these other leagues are at right now. I don't know if they're going to have to wait for somebody to test positive before they start canceling seasons and all that, or if they launch a preemptive strike and just say, screw it, let's just pull the ripcord now, and then we'll fight the good fight with the rest of the country and try to contain this thing.
Apparently, games are suspended. Team activities are not, but the Mavs have been told to stay in Dallas and not travel.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I imagine that all those guys will be holed up for a while. But, so I wonder, can they practice?
Apparently team activities are allowed. I guess they just don't want them coming into contact with anyone else, as long as they're confident that everyone on their team is healthy. Now, maybe, you know, I know tests are in short supply. Maybe everybody gets tested as a precautionary measure. I don't know.
So I don't know what's going to happen with the NCAA tournament. I mean, now do you figure that there is one guy right now, currently, you multiply 64 times 15 or however many guys are on a bench, plus the coaches, plus the trainers. Is there one guy that has it?
There's got to be.
As of 6 hours ago, the NBA didn't think they had one.
Yeah. So maybe they just say screw it.
And Corby, did you see, speaking of it's spreading, did you see the video that it's been retweeted a ton now, but of Gobert during a Monday after shoot around just going up and touching all the mics and all the media personnel's phones? Did you see that? Corby, you there?
I think you thought it was a bad question.
No, I didn't. I didn't see that. And that is weird. It's almost comical, but I guess it's not very funny.
Yeah, especially now with all the news that's come out. Just to reset here, this is the Mavs postgame show. The Mavs get the win, but that is a footnote on the big news of the night as Rudy Gobert tests positive for coronavirus just ahead of the Utah Jazz OKC Thunder game. That was canceled, and then panic ensued across the NBA world when moments later the league decided to suspend the season indefinitely. We will have no idea what that time frame is. But we will bring on a fourth member of the crew as the TV play-by-play voice just sat down, Mark Folliwell. Mark.
Hi.
Can only imagine it's been a crazy night for you.
It was.
Did you inform your audience, unfortunately, we were at the game and weren't listening to the broadcast. Did you inform the audience as soon as you got word?
Yes, we did. We did. Well, we got word. I looked at my email. I mean, obviously, like anybody, I mean, I'm checking the you-know-what out of my phone right now and social media and for updates. And so I started to see tweets at the, I guess it would have been the first time out of the third quarter. Maybe it was the second one. I don't know. At some point when Jamal Murray and Will Barton looked like Magic and Larry Bird out there at some point, in the third quarter when those guys were playing like that. So I looked at my phone, and you know, we made the immediate decision that look, I got on the email chain from the NBA league office of all NBA communications, and saw the NBA email press release, and said, okay, let's or the guys in the truck said we have to do this. Let's do it right now. We're putting you on camera. We're going to address this. And I said, okay, I'm just going to have to like read this email off my phone right now. It's like, that's fine. You know, we do what you got to do in that situation. And so, you know, knowing that you always have people tuning in and out, we tried to update people as much as we could, but also tried to do the game as best we could.
Did you have any sense of what Mark was doing? I know he walked towards the scores table during one of the timeouts. Was he trying to get information on updates of if they were canceling in real time?
No, I think that, Skin had him all. Skin went down to talk to him on the telecast tonight.
And we're going to play that audio here after the break.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you guys hear it and make your own judgments about it, but I think he probably was walking around looking for information because I think he probably just wasn't 100% sure of what exactly to believe. I don't know if you guys are at all interested in talking about this aspect of things, but I would say that, from my own personal perspective, doing the rest of the game obviously was incredibly difficult. And so I say that as a backdrop to, you can only imagine what it had to be like for people on the floor to actually play the rest of the game. And, from the Mavs perspective, obviously did play very well and fought off the distractions, which must have been unimaginable at that point to win the game. So I know that's kind of a secondary aspect of things for tonight, but I did think that under the circumstances, the game had to be finished and somebody had to play well enough to win the game, and the Mavs did a very, very nice job of that.
What do you guys think of the NBA saying that if they do have playoffs this year, your seed is going to be whatever team you last beat, whatever their seeding was, you take that their place. So the Mavericks would be a 2 seed.
Yes.
Sure. I'm okay with
that's
that.
That's passed unanimously.
Rules are rules. Rule number one, what Corby just said. Rule number two, always follow rule number one.
Follow all. This does not allow you out of your contract for every Thursday. I just want you to know that. You're not allowed to drive and cross the border and go to Tulum or whatever for the rest of the year.
I don't think I'll be doing anything along those lines. Yes, I will fulfill my Thursday afternoon contract.
Corby, you want to fill 4 hours for the next 3 months with no sports? That'll be fun.
Well, you know what's funny is we were kind of joking around about that. Like, what if hockey and then baseball? Baseball's like, all right, screw it. And then, we got nothing. But, I mean,
first look, Pearl Jam, and now guess what? When the Masters get canceled, that's when Corby really gets his ire up.
Don't even say that. So, yeah, we would have – I mean, we're kind of built for it, though, right? We're ready for this. We're all good. We're all good.
Boom.
All right, give our regards to baby Jessica, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
I will say this. This emergency roundtable pales in comparison to my emergency roundtable that I was called on to talk about the start of the Iraq war. I just want you to know that you guys are doing great, but still.
Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right, 9:51 on the tickets.
Got Donnie Nelson coming up next in just a minute.
60 seconds.
60 right. seconds.
Yes, Jay Kemp, Mark Falwell, Brian Damaris, Ryan Medlin here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310. The ticket. It is, like I said, nominally your Dallas Mavericks postgame show as Mavericks get the win at home over the Nuggets tonight. But that is far from the lead as the NBA has suspended their season, taking precautions to flatten and curb the spread of the COVID-19 virus. And joining us now on the ticket hotline, it is Mavericks general manager Donnie Nelson. Donnie, appreciate your time tonight.
Gentlemen, we'll be back. I just can't tell you when.
So where does tonight rank on the strangest nights you have had in a decades-long and storied career?
I feel like I'm in a sci-fi movie.
And how exactly did you, what is the information flow, the process of that like? Is it whether there was an inkling that this might be coming out, and then, or was it more of a tidal wave that all of a sudden this is hitting you guys? How did you process this tonight?
Well, we had a little bit of a heads up. Obviously, there was an owner's call. We have a GM call tomorrow. But, obviously the thing that took it over the top is when, you know, it really starts affecting our fans and our players. And that's, we don't mess around with that. That's the most important thing to us here in Dallas.
Sports. Make sure we still have Donnie Nelson here, as the NBA has suspended play indefinitely. Donnie, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, Donnie, this is Brian Damaris. Is there, Rick mentioned that players were informed not to travel and that there still are team activities. Does that mean there could still be practices or treatment and things of that nature?
Yes, I mean, it'll be business as usual. We'll stay ready, and when given the green light, if ever given the green light, you know, we can't wait to get back out there.
Hey, Donnie, it's Mark Folwell. I don't know if this is a question at any point that you can answer. Do you have any idea of whenever the green light, as you just referred to it as, is the NBA's vision to try to complete an 82-game season? Is it to play, some of the games, all of the games, have a normal playoffs? We don't know anything. Any information you have about what you think the NBA might be thinking about at this point would be certainly appreciated. Do you have any idea what direction it could go in that regard?
I would say when our players and our fans are safe. That is clearly the most important thing to the NBA right now with the news of Rudy. It's just it took it to a new level.
So any thought to what was announced for tomorrow night out in the Bay with regard to playing games without fans? Is that something that you feel like the pushback comes from a player level, or is it organizationally? Obviously, there's a revenue factor there. Is that just this is not really what the game is about? Why could they not, as a league, why could you guys not move forward with games being played, just no fans?
Well, my understanding was that was a civic decision by the city that, that obviously had repercussions over concerts, sports, anything, that exceeded 1,000 people. It was the same way that the plug was pulled in Austin. Obviously, you have cities that are looking after the best interest of citizens and lives, and that's the reality of where we are right now. You're always assessing risk. I mean, you've got everything from folks that, my son and my daughter, they see this as a glorified flu, but the reality is that, they're young and I'm not, and people are dying. So we have to take this seriously. And I think when it affects, members of our family, and that's Rudy Gobert certainly, and protecting our fans, that takes precedent over anything.
We have Donnie Nelson, president of basketball operations for the Mavericks, with us. Donnie, is there any plan to test everyone on the team and staff currently, just to see the status of where anyone is? Is that something that has either been mandated or suggested?
Yes, that'll be certainly part of it, yes.
And we know that that professional athletes or even college athletes are creatures of habit, and that they're used to doing the same things at the same time every day. Game day is a certain way. Off days are a certain way. Is that something where the onus is on the training staff to, during this undetermined layoff period, to talk to these guys about keeping things the same? I guess, as someone who, I don't know, maybe this applies to all of us, who has never really lived through anything like this, in the event that the season is resumed, what sort of measures do you guys have to take over the next couple of weeks so that in the event that you do come back, it doesn't feel like the preseason with merely, a handful of games left and a pivotal, critical stretch left in the regular season. What does that look like?
Well, this is completely uncharted territory. There's no precedent for this. And so, you know, at least if, you know, you're going through a lockout, you understand the reasons why. And but this is, I guess this is a little better in that, you know, it's, I guess we're kind of looking at it as an extended trading camp and staying in wait. And we don't know, but we just don't know what the future is. So we'll, you know, continue practicing and, you know, treatments and all the usual stuff that we do. And hopefully, you know, in the not too distant future, when things are safe for our players and our fans, then, you know, we'll be given the green light. And if not, then that's in the best interest of getting our country healthy again.
Mavs President of Basketball Operations Donnie Nelson on with us now here on the Ticket after a wild night where the NBA suspends its season indefinitely after the news of Rudy Gobert coming down and testing positive with the coronavirus. Donnie, when you saw the news, you know, we were talking about a little bit earlier today when the NCAA officials made the news that they were going to not allow fans to attend March Madness. That seemed to be the big news of the day. Were there rumblings that this was going to fall to the NBA where something of this magnitude could happen? Obviously, you have the situation in San Francisco with Golden State, but did y'all see this happening so quickly?
Honestly, I did not. I thought that we would take kind of a staggered, measured approach. I knew that no matter what, if it endangered you know, fans and certainly our players, family members, that was a non-negotiable. But I thought it would be maybe a little bit more of a staggered approach. But when, you know, one of our own tests positive, and this is just something that's really hard to put your thumb on. It's, you know, you think about all the hands that have been touched, you know, within the incubation time and the hard surfaces that have been touched. And it's just really, you know, it's aggressive, and we've got to be aggressive, I think, as a league, a team, and a nation to, you know, put a halt to this thing.
Well, certainly a wild night as the Mavericks, around the third quarter, first time out tonight, find out in the middle of their game again that the NBA season has been suspended due to the COVID-19 virus. Mavericks GM Donnie Nelson, kind enough to join us here on the Ticket tonight. Donnie, we appreciate your time on a very, very surreal evening.
Gentlemen, we will get through it like anything else, and your Mavericks will be ready to hit the ground running when we're given the thumbs up.
Thanks, Donnie.
Thanks, Donnie.
Appreciate you.
Hey, guys. All the best.
Followell, that was President of Basketball Operations Donnie Nelson giving us the latest intel. Interesting to note that Mavs players and staff will be tested shortly as a precautionary measure to see where they are currently. Followell, you had an update.
The NBA also has postponed tonight's game, canceled tonight's game between the New Orleans Pelicans and Sacramento Kings. It was to be played at the Golden One Center. Obviously, the assumption was that that game would be played, and then the suspension of the season would obviously be in place for both of those two teams. But this game was canceled tonight out of a quote, as I read from this NBA press release, abundance of caution because one of the referees assigned to work in the game also worked a Utah Jazz game earlier this week. And the press release does not say who that is. My understanding from reports is that it was referee Courtney Kirkland.
Yeah, Brian was mentioning something about that before you got here. And, I mean, you start to think about just the tentacles of the contagion type view of this. And yeah. I don't see – that's why whenever we start talking about the staff, players, and number of teams in the NCAA tournament, men's and women's, it's incredibly tough to see a situation where they feel good about playing that, fans or not,
right?
Here in a few weeks. Well, that's just – hard to wrap your head around.
To take you inside a little conversation that Brian and I were having off the air earlier today, you know, one of the things that we were discussing was that I have seen some pushback from media in terms of no access into the locker room. Just, you know, I've read things online, and obviously there have been some who have been upset about that decision and you know, couched it in terms of we think it's okay to play games and we think it's okay to do this, but for some reason, this is the place that you have to draw the line. And as Brian and I were talking, I said, well, I think it's being done out of an abundance of caution from if a player gets it, then clearly what happened tonight was what was going to happen. I think that every effort was being made to limit contact with players to try to have some semblance of a season continue to move forward. I mean, as of, based on the reports that we were all seeing, as of 4, 5, 6 o'clock today, the idea was that the season would continue, games would be played in front of arenas with no fans. You know, based on what the reports are, the owners' conference call today included a contingent, don't know how many, a contingent of owners who wanted the season to go on hiatus. An even larger contingent of owners, though, who wanted the games to be played, this is before the Gobert news, that wanted the games to be played in arenas but with no fans. And then one contingent of one owner who didn't want to do anything until a mandate from local, state, or federal officials came down. We all know who it is. We're all laughing. James Dolan of the New York Knicks was the one owner on the call who apparently did not want to do anything until he absolutely had his hand forced to do so.
I know he put his foot in his mouth when he said that then, but then within what all that's transpired just an hour later after he said that, it's like just quick payoff.
Yeah.
The quickest payoff you could have.
That happens a lot. With them, it doesn't usually take long for it to be like, yes,
this is not,
we told you that.
This is not everything else that's happened tonight is unprecedented. That aspect of things is not unprecedented. Dolan putting his foot in his mouth.
Yeah. Should we play the audio from Cuban at the podium and from ESPN?
I would rather you play it from Fox Sports Southwest.
And we have that as well. So Matt Birmingham, fire off. This is Mark Cuban's comments.
Okay, so we won the last game of the season, so we're officially champs, so I'll take your questions now.
How concerned are you about this whole situation?
Well, obviously very concerned, but it's not necessarily about basketball. Obviously, this is much bigger than basketball. I'm concerned about, you know, will my kids have school or not? I'm concerned, you know, are we all doing the right thing? Because this is obviously new territory. This is certainly a black swan event in my experiences. And so, you know, basketball actually becomes secondary. But in terms of basketball, you know, as I said earlier, nobody at the Dallas Mavericks is an expert on infectious diseases or their spread. And so this is not a situation where you fake it till you make it or try to sound or act important. The NBA has hired people with expertise in those areas, and they're working with people from the government and other expert areas, other people with expertise. And so we have to defer to them, and that's exactly what we'll do. And, you know, if the NBA, you know, effectively if one player, two players, whatever it is, already have it, you know, we'll have to act accordingly. And I think the NBA made the right decision.
There's a Board of Governors meeting today, obviously. You know, it was before all the info about Utah was out there. Mm-hmm. But it was reported, you know, some owners, you know, most of the owners were in favor of playing games without fans. Some of them were interested in completely postponing the season. Where did you fall on that issue?
I fall just in the exact place that I told you. I don't have the expertise at all, and I'm not in a position, you know, when it's something this critical, when people's health and the safety and of our fans and customers is at stake, I didn't have an opinion. You know, and I told, we said that effectively we'll go with what the NBA says because, you know, I'm smart enough to know what I don't know, and I'll defer to those who do.
Mark, this evening on ESPN, you mentioned something about your concern for some of the employees, the part-time people that work here. Mm-hmm. Could you reiterate that?
Yeah, you know, in talking to, When some of the things were coming up that we might not play games, and this was yesterday, I reached out to the folks at the arena and our folks at the Mavs to find out, you know, what it would cost to financially support people who aren't going to be able to come to work. You know, they get paid by the hour, and this was their source of income. And so we'll do some things there. We may ask them to go do some volunteer work in exchange, but, you know, we've already started the process of having a program in place, and I don't have any details to give, but it's certainly something that's important to me.
This has all transpired so rapidly. What are your feelings right now?
I mean, when I heard Michael Finley saw the announcement, and I was just stunned. I mean, it was just like, you know, I have this saying, life is half random. And this is the random side where, you know, it takes twists and turns. And this is something out of a movie, and you just don't expect it to happen in real life, but that's the randomness of the world we live in. And so it's stunning, but we are where we are, and we have to be smart in how we respond. We, again, as I just said, this is people's lives at stake. This isn't about basketball. This isn't about the Mavericks. This isn't about, you know, when do we start or do we start or how do we start. This is a pandemic, a global pandemic, where people's lives are at stake. And, you know, I'm a lot more worried about my kids and my mom, who's 82 years old, you know, and talking to her and telling her to stay in the house than I am about when we play our next game. Look, we have a lot of flexibility. I don't want to speak for Adam or the NBA, but in terms of the NBA basketball side of this, we have a lot of flexibility because there's nothing that happens after June 12th when we typically end our season. So, you know, it's more important for us to get it right.
Did you have any concerns about playing in a packed house tonight?
No, I didn't really. I was actually shocked that we had so many people, to be honest. I was half expecting there to be half full. The good news is that you could tell by the screaming and yelling, it was a very young audience. And so that probably makes a lot of sense. But no, I didn't have any reason to believe that anybody was put anybody else at risk. And we tried, you know, last week we tried to be proactive. You saw we handed out all the Purells to everybody. So, you know, that's not going to stop everything, but at least we can try to, you know, take a little bit of action to try to minimize where we could.
Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, thanks, everybody. Oh, let me say one other thing. What? Because I know it'll come up, JJ, you can feel free. In terms of what we told the players, we told them to be very vigilant, that this is not a situation where the season's ended, go do what you're going to do. You know, we expect you to stay in Dallas, and the NBA told us that we'll continue to practice and do rehab and continue to do work. And I was very specific, as was Coach, to say who you talk to is very important. You know, if bringing people in from out of town because you have downtime, no, that's not going to work. That you have to be accountable to the people you're dealing with and who you know, for your own personal safety and obviously for everybody else's. So this is not a vacation. This is effectively self-quarantining everybody, because it's our responsibility to be vigilant, and the players are in a unique position because wherever they are, people want to come up to them. And we had told them when we thought we were going on the road to only eat in the hotel, not to go out to eat and only use room service. And we kind of reiterated that same thing after the game, that you have to be very, very vigilant and very careful because you are at risk. And, you know, if you have family here, whether it's your children or your grandmother, you don't want to put them at risk. So be very, very careful and vigilant.
It's Mavs owner Mark Cuban here on the Ticket, here on the postgame show, the Mavs postgame show. They get the win, but the big story of the night is the NBA suspending its season indefinitely. Coming up next, we're going to bring on the Ringer's Brian Curtis to break down the biggest news in the sports day.
It's quarter past 10 here on Sports Radio 96.7, 1310, The Ticket. It's Jake Kemp, Brian Damaris, Mark Falwell, Ryan Medlin, and we are not here to talk about the Mavericks' 113-97 win over the Nuggets on a back-to-back. We are here to talk about the fact that shortly after halftime of tonight's Mavericks game, the aforementioned Mark Falwell, Jeff Skinwade, and Derek Harper had a shot on camera to tell us that the NBA had made the decision to suspend indefinitely the remainder of the season due to precautions over the COVID-19 virus, as Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz has apparently tested positive. And I can scarcely think of anybody that I would rather speak to about this with than the Ringer's Brian Curtis, who covers all things media, culture, sports, and the intersection thereof. For the Ringer, Brian, thanks for your time tonight, man.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
Well, you're going to have a busy week, my man.
Ooh.
This is kind of why they pay you the big bucks, huh?
If tonight is any indication, which started with me watching the president talk, and then I was like, ooh, I'm on the wrong channel. I'm on cable news, and I actually need to be over an ESPN right now. And, wow, what a whipsaw of an experience that was.
So let's start with just compare this to or put it in context of anything you've seen in your career of covering, whether it's the Olympics or like I said, the intersection between politics and society and sports. Where does this stack up? Because to me, it feels singular.
It does feel singular, you know, and I think the only comparison, and this is just purely on the basis of shutting down sports coming to a complete halt is something like 9/11. It really is. And I don't want to compare those things in any, please don't take that out of context, right? But just in terms of, we're at a point where we all have to stop, right? It's not something where we can go on with, you know, all these things at the full level. Now we talked about, well, maybe we'll do it without fans. Nope. We're just going to stop the NBA season for a time. And again, just purely observationally, that's what it feels like a little bit to me tonight.
You know, there was an article from the other Brian, one of my favorite sports writers, on your website the other day, on the Ringer, Brian Phillips, about just the communal aspect that sports offers us. And when you really step back, sometimes it feels a little silly that we're even hemming and hawing over, well, let's still play the games, but with no fans. But I've been thinking a lot since I read that article just about how in a time where it feels like no matter where you fall in the political or opinion spectrum, it feels like this is the time when we need sports the most. And now here we are with it being slapped in the face of global calamity of the day and maybe of the months has actually now taken that. Where do you see this going from a societal standpoint? I guess I'd just like to roll the ball over to you and ask you what you think the impact of this is going to be culturally.
It's totally true. I mean, because I think we look at sports as this is a presidential year, right, in America. There's a ton of political news wherever you fall on the spectrum, and sports absolutely functions as that way. You're going to literally change the channel or literally move your web browser or your radio dial or whatever it is to get away from that. And I think now, you know, we have these moments where it just becomes all intertwined. And we're like, oh my gosh, there's just kind of one story in America right now. And it's this. And, you know, it happened a couple of days ago when we were talking about the locker rooms and the media being told to stay out of the locker rooms. We had this moment with the NCAA. Oh my gosh, they're going to have the entire NCAA tournament, men's and women's, without fans earlier today. Then we get to this point tonight where NBA games are going to stop. And there is no escape right now. There is no, you know, pure place to go for fun and games. It's all about this one story, which is the story of the coronavirus.
Brian, hi, Mark Folliwell. Sorry, this is the first time we've ever had a chance to talk. Wish you were under different circumstances.
nice to see you, Mark.
Yes, nice to chat with you. And I guess my question for you, which is purely guesswork and opinion on your part, is, given that what the NBA has obviously had no choice but to do tonight, will other entities, NCAA, other professional sports leagues, will they continue forward with the presumed plan, in your opinion, of games in front of no fans, or is it about to be a across-the-board no-games policy of any sort? What do you think?
This is where I, you know, say I'm not an epidemiologist before I say anything else.
Sure, because of course.
We're all guessing to a point. But you know what? I kind of had a feeling over the last couple of days that we were headed here eventually. One, with this idea that we're going to play games, but we're not going to have any fans. Well, we still have these giant broadcast crews going to games like March Madness, right? We still have the people who have to open the arena and clean the floor and do all those kind of things. You have people like yourself who are going to be at the games. So that always felt like, you know, a solution, a possible solution, but maybe not one that was workable long term. And I think you hit the nail on the head a minute ago when you said this was absolutely the NBA's biggest nightmare, that a player would get sick. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happened, then what do we do? Whoa, wait, he was kind of comically touching all those journalists' recording devices a couple of days ago. He was around his teammates. He was around team personnel. He was, if I read this on Twitter correctly tonight, in the visitors' dressing room at Madison Square Garden, where not only visiting NBA teams are, but visiting hockey teams, right? So now that we've introduced this into this world, again, I don't know. I have no idea, but I don't think it's crazy that you're going to see things go from that sort of half measure of no fans in the stands to maybe some things are put on pause for a while. I don't think that's crazy at all.
Brian, this is Brian Damaris. As a journalist with a site that is, you know, sports, but pop culture and many other aspects, I mean, have you got any directives on how you guys are covering this? Is it only if it kind of has a sports angle, or is it kind of the coronavirus as a whole now that this has kind of transferred into the world of everyone's lives in a way?
I think it's like the whole rest of the story where the answer is we don't know, right, from moment to moment. But I think the general charge with our site and probably everybody right now, including the reason we're all having this conversation, is you just kind of have to answer the bell, right? This is what the news is. This is what the story is. I'm sure Scott Van Pelt didn't think 2 weeks ago he'd be talking about this tonight. And Doris Burke, by the way, did a pretty great job on the national broadcast that game. Didn't think she'd be, you know, talking about this either. And Mark didn't either. So I think all you do is try to do your part of it and help people understand. Don't freak people out and do your best.
It's Brian Curtis of The Ringer joining us here as the NBA has suspended the 2020 season after Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz tested positive for COVID-19. You know, we were talking a little bit about when the locker room stipulations were handed down that, you know, it's not that hard to imagine some of these teams making these measures permanent and these players making these things permanent. With regard to access for players and the way that we still, at least in the States, have media in the locker room. If you were to sort of, and I know this is probably kind of irresponsible, crystal ball this, we have no idea when this will end. Maybe it'll only be a couple weeks. What sort of lasting effects do you see, like let's say we fast forward a year from now, on the sports world from something as momentous as this, beyond the locker room? Is it, I don't know, the amount of fans that are let in, you know, and that brings in money. Like, in what way do you think this could possibly change the way that we take in sports as consumers?
It's a great question. I would just say that the U.S. generally and the sports world specifically has a great capacity to return to normalcy. Again, I go back to 9/11, which was such a huge period in all of our lives, and there was this idea that life's going to be very, very different. And how can we ever play a baseball game again? How can we ever watch a baseball game again? Why would we ever want to do that, you know, a couple years? And life has, in many ways, not always, but in many ways, gotten back to normal, right? Normal's a loaded word, but it really did in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know, you know, the level of seriousness of this, but I wouldn't underestimate sports' ability and all of our abilities to at some point return to something like what we had before this. I really don't.
Brian, how do you, as a member of the media, kind of balance the reporting of it versus not wanting to, and I know your site doesn't do this, but, you know, sensationalize to a degree that does incite some panic, right? I mean, yes, the NBA has suspended its season. That in and of itself is not a big deal, but the fact that anyone now, Tom Hanks and Rudy Gobert, can get this and that there are real lives at stake. But, you know, how do you personally kind of balance that of reporting the facts but yet not wanting to, you know, overstate just for, you know, clicks per se?
Yeah, tonight really felt like the night the panic meter went up, didn't it?
Yeah.
And who would have guessed that it would involve Rudy Gobert and Tom Hanks, you know, and then a travel ban from Europe. I'm not sure we would have put those three together in any weird, wild scenario we had. You know, I think the big thing is to defer to people who know about this stuff. I think you heard Cuban doing a little bit there in his post-game remarks. And it's just to say, we don't know. And it's okay to say, we don't know what's going to happen, right? And it's okay to say, here are the precautions you can do right now. Here are the precautions you can do if things get worse. But at this point, none of us know the answer to this. And, you know, that for some people, that means they panic. But I think it's a more hard-headed approach where you say, listen to the people who know, do exactly what they say, right? If it was funny, if it was a joking matter 2 days ago when Rudy was touching the recorders and stuff, ha ha, coronavirus, got it, you know, it's not anymore. And listen to the people that know and do exactly what they say.
So I would be remiss if I did not ask, do we already have a leading candidate for overworked Twitter joke of the week, or is this one that everyone just doesn't want to touch?
I was thinking about that tonight. There's one floating out that you may have seen that, you know, Rudy Gobert should win Defensive Player of the Year because he just shut the whole league down.
Okay, yeah.
But I
hate it.
I'm just reporting here. I'm not endorsing. But you know, I think that's, and if we're doing, you know, humor to give us a smile in a weird dark
gallows
time
humor,
like this,
sure.
gallows humor. I think that's probably as good as it gets at this point.
If I could jump in the Wayback Machine, I don't know if any of you guys remember this or not. And Brian, you seem like the guy that would be a candidate to have remembered this. But
I know exactly where you're going.
Saturday Night Live was kind of what brought it around in after 9/11. And if you recall, that was on a Tuesday morning. And then not the next Saturday, but the following Saturday after that, Saturday Night Live did a weekend update and was reporting the story of Osama bin Laden and said, you know, and he's believed to be hiding out in caves in a place where nobody is, either in a cave or at a screening of Mariah Carey's movie. And forgive me for not remembering what the movie name was, but that was the moment. It's like, okay, okay, we can joke now. We can laugh and smile at this point. So maybe there will
totally.
Be, yeah, maybe, I don't know if you remember that or not, Brian, but maybe there will be some point like that out there in the future for us.
And we all have different jobs in this, right? I mean, it's not, you know, we're all going to be dealing with this in some way in our job tomorrow and the next day and maybe weeks from now. But, you know, again, we don't all have the same job, and people need to laugh and smile and probably talk about sports too, right? That's probably healthy.
Well, in a way, I think it's good that, you know, I want to stress, you know, Rudy Gobert getting this is not like it's more important than, you know, the people in Dallas County who have gotten it. But I think it brings it home, the gravity of it, to everybody that, okay, now it's, you know, this is something that can hit anybody. I think it's taking that and really learning the lesson for everybody in that, and not that we're, you know, making somebody more important than anyone else.
That's exactly right. And it's just, it's symbolic, isn't it? I mean, that was the moment, like I said, Tom Hanks being another one, where you just said, oh, my gosh, you know, it was this thing that we've all been reading about. We've all been watching on TV, following local news and thinking, OK, it's out
there. Oh, that's other people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's out there. It's in different places. I'm scared, but I don't quite understand. And then you see that and you go, oh, my gosh. And they're canceling the game that I'm watching right now. Yeah, it's just a totally different feeling.
I think what we're all saying is we just need to wait for Chuck, Kenny, Shaq and Ernie to bring this all back to normalcy, because just like with the China situation, I could not wait to hear how they would, you know, the screen would go to black whenever they started to put their feet in their collective mouth after that. So hopefully that'll be sooner rather than later. Brian, we appreciate your time, man. We'll check out your work in the coming days.
Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Brian Curtis of TheRinger.com. You can check out his podcast. You can check out his work. Whether it about the media on sports, politics, just generally, one of my favorite personalities out there covering this sort of thing. When we continue,
we have some more comments, but we'll have Rick Carlisle's comments postgame.
Okay, let's do that next.
10:33 here on Sports Radio 96.7, 1310 The Ticket. It's the Mavs postgame show. And the Mavs do get the win over the Nuggets, 113-97, but that is not the story tonight. The big story is that the NBA suspending its season indefinitely out of precaution of the spread of the coronavirus after the Utah Jazz's Rudy Gobert test positive just ahead of their game tonight before the OKC Thunder that was canceled. And real quickly, before we get to Donovan Lewis on the phone, who is waiting, I want to walk down a little bit of a timeline, because when something like this happens, you kind of have to look at who he may have been in contact with. We see that in these cases of non-athletes and just people in general that have been diagnosed with this. They go down the list of people they've been associated with over the past couple of days. And if you look at Utah's road schedule, they were at New York playing the Knicks on March 4th. The day after, the Capitals and the Rangers played at Madison Square Garden. Now, the reason I bring that up is because the Rangers were in town last night playing the Dallas Stars. And you'll see this across the leagues of the NBA and the NHL. A lot of these teams share arenas. And that is a big concern that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I'm sure they're cleaning these facilities out pretty well every night, but there is a tie there to Dallas and local teams at the AAC, and with the Mavs being there tonight.
Follow-up has some breaking news.
Not breaking news, but just one thing I've seen along those lines. I mean, there's, you know, significant concern right now in Boston because at Emerson University in Boston, we've actually practiced at that gym before as well when we've been up there, but it says the story is from that area. Utah Jazz player who tested positive for COVID-19 practice in Emerson's gym between March 5th and 6th. So
depends on how long that incubation period. Why don't we bring Donovan Lewis in for his thoughts. Donnie Dew.
What's up, fellas?
Man, no big deal, huh?
Hey, I knew you. I knew that was going to be the first thing you would say to me.
No big deal?
I did not say that. I did not say it was not a big deal. I said that you should have concern, but there are some times when you think about the numbers and when you start taking this stuff, seeing that if it's going to affect some of these leagues, yeah, you got to take those precautions and take it seriously. But it is amazing the things that went down last night. This is crazy. I didn't think we had the scenario on our show this morning about, and I need to apologize to Patty Mills because I put it on him on our show today. Because I was not going to put this on a Maverick. I was going to put it on a Spur, and I gave Patty Mills this. But we had the scenario, and we thought that they would do or have to do exactly what they did because of you never know how long this thing has been festering and who is affected. So you have to shut it down to try to, you know, get to the root problem of it and make sure everything is okay. So it's – I didn't think it was going to play out tonight, but when you think about it all, man, it's mind-blowing.
We just had reports that Adrian Wojnarowski, another Woj bomb, says that Utah is quarantined in Oklahoma City, and mm-hmm. they will have to coordinate with Salt Lake and Oklahoma City officials before they can leave. So they may be there, frankly, for up to 14 days and somehow being quarantined there. So the hiatus could last for a while. Donnie Dew, does this news, you know, and I think you and I may have been in a similar boat where we knew about this and weren't terribly worried, but personally, does this change how you're approaching your daily life or some of the things you're doing to prepare for things?
You know, not really. You're kind of cautious about, you know, taking care of yourself and making sure that you're washing your hands and doing all these other things and maybe not shaking hands with other people just to be cautious. And, you know, both of my parents are still alive, so I don't know if I need to go over there and check on my parents. Maybe just give them a phone call, because that's the one thing I've always said you're worried about. I feel that if this happens to me, yes, I'll get sick and I'll get over it. But there is no way I wanted to put that on any of my older family members or be around if this thing happened to me. So that's pretty much you're just looking out for yourself and making sure that you're taking care of yourself. And when you do that, then that's probably step one of the battle personally.
And step two of the battle probably is how do you find the right balance between being smart, taking care of yourself, and doing the things that you need to do, but then also not contributing to, although, you know, I don't know how much any individual can do at this point. It would seem that the horse is already out of the barn in this regard, but contributing to the panic nature of things. You know, that's something that you want. In my opinion anyway, you want to try to find a balance between doing the smart things, but also not causing total undue chaotic panic.
And you have a lot of people that are upset at all of us because that's what we're talking about, and they're tired of it, and they have tire head, and I understand that, and I get it. And sometimes that affects us when we talk about certain subjects.
Yeah.
But this is something that is something we haven't seen around these parts in a long, long time, because we're talking about all the other things that's happened with Ebola and swine flu and all SARS and everything that's happened. But this feels a tad bit different now, Jake. I will admit that. It feels different now that when it affects you personally, and sometimes it may sound a little bit selfish because when it affects you personally, that's when you start paying attention to it. But, man, that's human nature, and that's how we operate. And now the thing that we all love the most, NBA basketball, has now been affected by it because – one of its members now has tested positive, then yeah, you start having your eyes open and checking everything out and making sure you're doing what you need to do and just, you know, trying to soak in all types of information on everything you see when it's put out.
It's Donovan Lewis joining us here on the quote-unquote Mavericks post-game show after the Mavericks beat the Nuggets here at home, second night of a back-to-back. But, of course, the news that the NBA has suspended all games in
there will be team activities,
caution,
practices.
And out of precaution, yeah.
Players will get tested here very shortly, I'm assuming across the league.
Donovan, did you see that after the game, Carlisle, one of his comments was, well, yeah, you know, we knew that since we had a long layoff coming, we could play Boban a little longer and stretch his minutes out a little bit. So eyes on the prize.
Career high 31 points.
I did not hear him say that, no. Yeah.
You got to stay true to your brand.
So sometimes what I find myself thinking about, and this is probably not, you know, wise, but when something like this happens, and I even remember thinking this around the time of 9/11, is what is it going to be like when this is over? And the Ringer's Brian Curtis made, I thought, a good point about how sports are very good at yo-yoing us back to normal quicker than maybe your personal or professional life may be.
Right.
We have congressional doctors saying that somewhere between 75 and 150 million of the 330 million people in this country are going to be affected by this. But at some point, we're going to play games again, right? At some point, we're going to finish this out or start another season. Have you thought at all about what does it look like whenever we, quote, get back to normal and how long that takes and what it feels like?
You know what? The one thing I've thought about on the, along those lines is, okay, let's just say that in a couple of weeks, everything is calmed down and it's back to normal. You're going to have a whole lot of people, a loud, loud amount of people telling you that, see how ridiculous this was a couple of weeks and it really wasn't that bad. But you can look on the other side and say all the precautionary measures that everyone's taken, they all worked, and we were able to control and contain this thing. Just listen to Corby and Walensky today. Man, Walensky was so good on air today because it starts at the top and it trickles down, and this thing was mishandled pretty badly at the very beginning, and now it's come to this. So, yes, it's going to get back to normal. The games are going to be played again, and there are some things that probably will stick around because of this. Like
media,
you know,
access
maybe
to the locker room.
Yeah.
Right. Media in the locker room, or maybe even the fan interaction for a little bit. I don't know. Those things will stick around. But you feel like it's going to be all for the better, and everything, and everyone's going to pull through this and be better for it, because we'll have the knowledge of this thing that is so new and so no information, no vaccine or anything like that. You just feel that once you start gathering all of this information, people are going to lose their lives. We're going to lose some games and some fans won't be able to come to the games, but we're going to overall be better off for it. And you know, once sports comes back, that's going to play a major part of it.
Donnie, what's up? It's Ryan. I was filling in for Jake, but had to call in backup with the big news coming tonight. So I got Falwell, Jake, and Brian with me. Want to ask you this. The big news of the day was supposed to be the NCAA not allowing fans into the March Madness tournament. From your sports estimation and knowledge, is this thing even going to happen at this point?
I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to say they're going to continue to do this with no fans in the stands. Unless there is a NCAA player that tests positive for this also. I think if that happens, then they'll probably just cut it off and say, you know what, let's do exactly what the NBA did and let's just take precautions and don't worry about it. But if that doesn't happen, then I think they will play it. I don't know if they'll suspend it and it'll be played a week or two later, but I think they'll get it done.
Now, along those lines, there is a report tonight that Fred Hoiberg, who is Nebraska's head basketball coach, was taken to the hospital because of illness. So I'm sure that is along the lines of the press releases that we've read several times tonight as it relates to the NBA and other things, out of an abundance of caution. But that's something that's developing as the night unfolds. Yeah.
Don't you think that would do it, Mark? If he tested positive for COVID-19, I think that would postpone March Madness.
Because then you wouldn't know who they had. You would have to then trace who they'd been in contact with, and then you would just have such a Nebraska's team had been, you know, who they played recently and who had those teams played, and I think you would have such a domino effect at that
That's
point.
That's so yeah. Inevitable, though, right? I mean, how many teams are eligible for the tournament? 300?
Yeah, over there's so 350 Division I basketball.
Well, they
teams,
played so. At Indiana tonight, at Minnesota Sunday, at Michigan number 25 Thursday. Who obviously Ohio State a few days before that. Those are teams that are going to make the tournament. So potentially, you know, depending on what the health authorities say, the incubation period is.
Yeah,
you could definitely see that quarantines and that kind of thing just has to happen.
And I think the crazy part too is, now that the first domino has fallen with Rudy Gobert, anytime anybody on a sports team right now is showing any sort of symptom of anything, really, it seems like we're going to hear a lot of stories over the next couple of weeks, days. I don't know how long it'll be, but anytime anybody's showing symptoms, they're going to get taken to a hospital and we're going to hear about it. And you have to assume, I guess, right now that any illness that you see there is corona.
The Mavs, not to interrupt, Ryan, but the Mavs have had three players miss games in the span of the last three games that they played because of illness. And Luka was sent home for practice, by the way, one day late last week.
Right.
Tim Hardaway Jr. missed a game against Indiana. What game was it that Hardaway missed? It was the Friday night game against Memphis. He was sick and missed that game. And then Cauley Stein missed the game last night. And Kid Gilchrist actually missed two games. He missed the Indiana game Sunday and the San Antonio game last night because of illness.
And if Mike Elliott, who's the head trainer with the Jazz, who's a friend of mine, if he hadn't made the decision to get him tested for corona, we never would know that he had it. It's possible that maybe those cases are corona, but because they weren't tested, we won't know. And I think a lot of people, frankly, either have had it or have it, who just say, yeah, I got a case of the sniffles, because tests aren't widely available. And you know, I wouldn't know today where to go to get a test if I came down with something. So I think that's the problem, is that while we're seeing reported cases, we don't even know the true extent of what's going on.
And I think that game,
he would have played tonight if they didn't stop that from going. He was not feeling well, but he was ready to go. So just think if you didn't get that test until after that game.
Dang.
And apparently, you guys probably know a little bit more about this than I do, but from what I've read, apparently the game was like literally like the jump ball was about to be thrown up.
Yeah, I heard CP3 like went over to the Jazz bench and was like, "What's going on with Rudy?"
Mm-hmm. And they shooed him away.
They told him, "Get away from us."
And they flew in yesterday.
You're on a
plane, Mark. You are on those planes all the time. Those are tight quarters.
Yeah, sure.
So I would be shocked if, you know, if they say it's surface contact. It would be shocking if there weren't other Jazz players that test positive.
So Evan Fournier just tweeted that he just talked to Rudy and he was doing good and that no time to panic. And I just want to reply to him and say, too late, buddy.
Too late. We have heard from Luka on the Twitter world. He just tweeted out a moment ago, 2020 is being very bad year. Stay
okay,
safe, folks.
I feel like you're kind of mocking the
translation. No.
That's really what he said.
I'm reading what he said.
I know what he said, but you could have cleaned it up a little bit.
This afternoon, he said, great day in Dallas.
I don't want
to
misconstrue words.
To help the guy out, but
I am reading word for word. I do not want to misconstrue words.
You missed the Slovenian halftime acrobatic act that, for some reason, had a green dragon who did nothing but hype the crowd.
Well, I imagine they'll be here for a while.
Yes, they'll be at every practice and every game and every mall and Mavs Care appearance for a while.
All right, Donovan. Well, I'll see you at Norm's house tomorrow. I imagine we're all doing. I imagine we're doing the whole 5:30 to 7 lineup from Little Elm.
I just want to ask Ryan, if I tweeted I watch basketball, would you read that word for word on the air? Also?
Who would ever?
Look, if I see something out there, I'm going to read it word for word. I don't want anybody to say that I am being a dishonest reporter.
Well, I'm driving bus home, and I think, Donovan, I think what you really meant was I look basketball because you look
right,
at TV.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. All right, boys, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Jake.
All right, see you, homie.
Real quickly, Mark Fowle before we go to break.
So from Rick Bonnell, who is the Charlotte Hornets beat writer in Charlotte, who is passing along from Tim Reynolds, who's an Associated Press basketball writer. Source says the NBA anticipates this is a minimum of 2 weeks that they'll be off.
Because that is the quarantine period, and they're going to test everyone, including those people, quarantine them, and see where they are at that point. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll have final thoughts here as we go forward on the Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM.
All right, 10:52, Sports Radio 96.7, 1310, The Ticket. It is Jake Kemp, it's Mark Falwell, Brian Damaris, Ryan Medlin. We are shutting this thing down after a Mavericks win in which Boban goes off.
His news just gets
really
buried.
Sucks.
31 points, 17 rebounds.
I really saw 31, sucks. And I thought that was minutes, and he did play 31 minutes, but he also put up 31 points. And on all nights when we should be celebrating the greatest feat ever accomplished by this man.
Yeah.
And how everybody thought it was a joke when he came here. He starts tonight, his second start of the season, and then this news breaks.
This is the Dan McDowell rule, right? Or he wants to be, you know, he doesn't want to die on the airplane with somebody more famous than him. So he gets the lead.
Man, I said it today. If you think back to 9/11, the stories that got buried because of it. And
absolutely. 100%. I have a friend who was very well pleased that happened because he was in some legal trouble.
Gary Condit was the big story that summer before 9/11.
We're calling it the Gary Condit rule.
Yeah.
And Jeff, P1 Jeff, said two early nominees for the Gary Condit Skate Award, the Houston Astros.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah. NFL owners.
Yep. Yeah.
So we'll see who else can try to get their transgressions in.
Man, Houston lucked out twice with the Bill O'Brien thing. Looked like he was going to get canned.
Yeah, Hurricane Harvey was so lucky.
No, I'm not saying that. I didn't even say that.
Be careful around Brian, H-Town Brian. The rodeo and everything.
But I'm saying with the way the
rodeo really struck me hard. Now, people don't realize, though, the rodeo is 80,000 people for 3 weeks.
Yeah. That's
every
a big
night.
Deal.
That's bigger than, I mean, that's a huge deal. When I saw that, I was like, this is going in one direction.
Yeah. Look, I saw the story about South by Southwest yesterday. So they've already had, you know, South by Southwest has 170-ish full-time year-round employees. A third of them have already had to be laid off.
Yeah.
The loss of revenue means that there may not be any more South by Southwest moving forward.
And I really liked Mark saying that they're going to take care of the arena employees. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I talked to several of them that hadn't been told anything about what was going on. On my way here, Ryan and I were stopped by one saying, is the season canceled? Like, they don't, I mean, this is their full-time job.
Yeah.
And, you know, and another thing we haven't even talked about, this drastically affects the salary cap. And the salary cap's going to drop, of course, not only because of what happened in China, but now this, which, listen, we can talk about that days down the road, but that's going to affect, you know, the salaries of every player, how many players you can have. There are going to be players who are not going to have jobs because of that. This has many ramifications down the road.
As far as just the real world, you know, that's like the arena workers. I mean, that has been on my mind so much.
Uber drivers, the restaurants around here, the hotels. I talked to somebody who works at a hotel here that houses a lot of teams. They're losing, you know, all those bookings.
Yeah. Look, the thing that has been on my mind for a long time, long time relative to when this news started breaking in the last like 3 or 4 days, that this was a real possibility that you would play games without fans, was that you will have a lot of arena workers who are, you know, getting paid based on being there by the hour, by the game, and that is income that's going to dry up. And this is going to happen for a lot of people in a lot of places, and unfortunately there's going to be a crippling economic impact that we're headed towards here.
We went for an hour and 17 minutes from the time that the Jazz and Thunder went to their locker rooms till the season was suspended.
Yeah.
That's how quickly things moved.
Wow.
I want to ask this to you guys because, you know, there's been times in this country where we've had to heighten security measures from a, you know, going through metal detectors, being waved down, dog sniffing bags, all these things. It seems like it's only increasing as the days go by, the security measures they're taking. I mean, once eventually there are fans back in the stands for these games, whether it's 2 weeks from now, like you had mentioned, that's the initial, you know, the initial timeline
is minimum 2 weeks.
Yes, minimum 2 weeks. But if we're looking at it 2-3 months from now where fans are finally allowed back in the arena, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to imagine a world where people are getting swabbed on their way in for those quick tests. I mean, is that crazy of me to think that?
I have no idea how the test is even administered and how long it takes to get results from that.
Yeah.
Or the cost.
One of the good things about this is that hopefully this will institute the hand washing habit for people that haven't done that. And, and, you know, I'm consciously trying to not touch my face as much and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, that's a silver lining in all this.
I will say this. The lines in the restroom were longer than I've ever seen for hand-washing stations. Everybody was scrubbing the hell out of their hands.
Yep.
The only people that are happy are women because they're looking at us like, oh,
now
how's that feel? Yeah, there was a line out the hallway on the concourse, whatever it was, Wednesday night or whenever we had, was it Friday night last week, whatever it was. It took a long time.
Yeah, Friday and Sunday both. Yeah,
because nobody wanted to be the guy who stopped washing his hands.
Yeah, I heard
first.
You talking about that today. Like if you're in the bathroom now with someone,
so
I had
true.
That happen to me today.
Got
to
keep going.
You 20 seconds. I'll do 25 just to make sure.
Right.
How many pumps are you doing? Oh, I did 10. What about you?
And I'll tell you this: I've never done anything like this in my life because I'm generally none of this matters. Whatever. It's everything's overblown. Even if it's not okay, I'll just die. I went to Sam's today.
You're stocking up on provisions, aren't you?
Dude.
Canned goods?
They're out of toilet paper.
I've heard that.
at a big box store, at a bulk purchasing store. So whether it's, you know, one bulk big box store or another, they're out.
I got hand towels, paper towels.
Now, the store wasn't necessarily swarmed in any sort of riotous sense. It wasn't, you know, raucous in there. I mean, you get right to the front.
Things have moved so rapidly.
But it was out of toilet paper.
Yeah, I went to CVS yesterday.
And the lady laughed at me when I asked.
I went to CVS yesterday, and they...
You're 2 days late, Chief.
Purell, Clorox White, it was two per customer, max.
See, that I understand. The toilet paper thing, to me, is still a little odd that that's the number one go-to, it seems like, right now. Like, you can find other ways to get that job done without
to
having to stock up on that.
I
now,
use
like,
my undershirt
goods
at House of Blues Dallas many years ago.
Wow.
I'm glad we can have a couple of laughs tonight on a night that's been so serious. My goodness.
Well, to recap, the NBA has suspended play indefinitely. The Mavericks do win tonight, but that is the subset. I'm sure that the Musers, starting at 5:35, will have wall-to-wall coverage of what's going on, and then we'll go right into the Normandy invasion and the Super Bad Radio and 3-7 with all the latest. Considering how quickly things move today, from Dr. Fauci at 11 a.m. saying that the NBA shouldn't have fans in the stands, to the NCAA tournament, to the rodeo, to what happened tonight, there is absolutely no telling. The NHL is supposed to have a statement in the morning. We'll hear a lot more. Maybe we should see who's on the phone here real quick before we get out of here. Go ahead.
Is this who you've been trying to get on, Brian?
Yeah.
So if I'm not mistaken...
All right, this is Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Mark, thanks for joining us. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, sorry.
Hey, sorry. Okay, well, tell us what is the latest that you've heard? Have you heard anything officially from the league other than the statement that was made public?
Not really. You know, we just heard what everybody else has heard, and we'll have another call tomorrow to get an update.
Okay, so this is just, it's such a surreal situation, Mark, and I would imagine, you know, you've had all sorts of a wild ride over the past couple decades as an owner. Is this something that you guys have any sort of contingency for in the off season? Is it that sort of thing where, all right, yeah, maybe, but it's just always so far in the recesses of your mind that it's just, frankly, a...
I don't know how anybody's prepared. This is a black swan event. This is the definition of a black swan event, you know, and so... I don't think you could prepare for it, but it is where we is. I mean, you know, life is half random, and this is the random side coming out where you just don't know why things happen, but they do, and you have to deal with them. And so we'll do our best to deal with them. Obviously, you know, this thing is bigger than basketball. It's more important than the NBA. It's, you know, and the NBA didn't want to contribute to making the problem worse. And when, you know, one of the players got it and potentially another. And the NBA talked to Health and Human Services and the experts, epistemology experts. They basically told us that, you know, it's in the best interest of everybody to shut the games down because it does something called flattening the curve, mm-hmm. which effectively says that anything you can do to reduce the number of cases. You know, there's two things that could happen. You could, the cases accelerate, everybody gets it, and then you get past it. But the problem there is so many people would be ill, particularly the elderly or the sick, that there aren't enough hospital beds, there aren't enough respirators, there's not enough drugs. You couldn't really deal with it. So by flattening the curve and limiting the number of scenarios where people gather together and could potentially exchange the virus or if you spread the virus, you minimize the number of people that have it. And as a result, you hopefully have less of a negative impact on hospitals and infirmaries and wherever people will be treated. You know, you don't want to be in a position where it's so bad where there aren't enough respirators, aren't enough beds, aren't enough doctors. That's where things really get hellacious.
Mark, something I heard that you mentioned during your press conference tonight, it's obviously been on our minds a lot in the lead up to this when the idea seemed like it was inevitably headed towards playing games in arenas without fans, was the plight of the hourly game-to-game arena worker. I don't know if there's anything that you can update us on in that regard, but obviously these are people who are particularly vulnerable at this point in time from an economic standpoint. So what can you share with us on plans to do whatever you can for those folks moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I had the conversation with the people at the arena to try to get a sense of, you know, how much it would cost for every game missed. And I really didn't even discuss other events. We just discussed the maps, and that's also a big issue as well. But I know how much it is, and, you know, initially, for at least for the Mavs games, and hopefully the arena I can convince all the others involved in the arena to do it for any other events that are canceled. We'll take care of them, and I really, really strongly recommend that whatever business you're in, whatever you do, you know, I think it's 88 million people are paid by the hour, and, you know, effectively, if you're getting paid by the hour, you're probably living paycheck to paycheck. So think about that if you're a business owner, to do what you can. And even, you know, as you go out and you do things in the community, you know, try to support businesses that are like that, because, you know, this is going to have a greater effect on businesses than I think most people expect. Put aside what happens in the stock market. That's not necessarily a reflection of what happens in business all the time, particularly smaller businesses. But there's going to be a lot of trickle-down effects in a negative scenario, where, you know, just small companies, you know, not just travel, but just a bakery, or, you know, just anything you could possibly, the corner store, anything you could possibly imagine, they're all going to be impacted as well. So, you know, if you get a chance to help somebody that's living paycheck to paycheck, or if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you have ideas, you know, share them, because this is certainly a unique situation. You know, we haven't seen this in my lifetime. Who knows what it was like in 1917 and 1918 when you had the influenza outbreak and 60 million people died globally. This is not going to be what that is, but obviously that was something that changed the globe in a dramatic and tragic situation. But, you know, and I'm not trying to scare people in the least bit, but I'm just trying to tell everybody, be cognizant of not just yourself, but other people and the circumstances they're in, because these are the times when we have to think of more than just ourselves. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but it's not off to a good start.
Mavs owner Mark Cuban joining us here on the Ticket right now on a crazy night where the NBA has suspended gameplay indefinitely while Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus. Mark, I kind of want to hear a little bit of a timeline of how your night went, because the OKC-Utah game, it got held up right before tip-off, and there's a video of you floating around on the internet world, of you being thrown back in your chair after being shown what I'm assuming is the news that the NBA is suspending league play, and then you proceeded to get up after. Can you kind of just walk us through from the moment you saw the news and then kind of what happened after that?
I was like, oh, my God, this can't be real. And so Michael Finley had told me that beforehand, and then Scott Tomlin came over and confirmed it, and because I was like, no, it can't be real. And, and so then, you know, I just started telling some folks and just letting them know, because that's one of those things where you just want to tell somebody, you know, and it's because it's so inconceivable. And then I had Brian, our security guy, let the refs know, because I just thought they would want to know. And guys, you know, the guys, to their credit, played their hearts out. But it was just, you know, I don't want to compare it to like when Kobe died and we all heard about it, but it was just a stunning.
Mark, there's a report that's come out here in just the last few minutes that players from teams that the Jazz have played within the past 10 days are being told to self-quarantine. Those teams include the Cavaliers, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Pistons, and the Raptors. And certainly understanding the concessions that have to be made to HIPAA and player privacy and such, but can you tell us what, if anything, you know about protocol with the Mavs right now in terms of...
I'll tell you exactly what I told the players. I said, look, this is bigger than us. That this is not a lockout situation or an end of season situation where you can just go whatever and do whatever. You all are expected to stay in Dallas. And I explained to them why, because you need to know who you're coming in contact with. We're obviously very visible. They're very visible as basketball players. People like to walk up to them and talk to them and touch them, etc. And that creates a problem. And so you can't have friends coming into town. You can't go out of town. And obviously the union will have their own rules and feedback and everything. But what we've certainly made clear to them is they have to stay in Dallas. This is not just an open opportunity to travel, and that we also will have ongoing team activities, because again, we're concerned about their health. The example I gave is, you know, you guys are young. You might have symptoms and not know it and be able to communicate it to your grandmother or your grandfather or your mom or your dad, who may be more vulnerable, or you may have somebody that you know who has an immune system that has been compromised because they've had cancer and chemotherapy, and you might not even know about it. So this is something that is bigger than us, and we have to be very aware of the role we have and the impact we have. And we also have to protect ourselves and our family and the organization. And so, and in doing so, we help protect the community. So we didn't, you know, just say, hey, the season's suspended. We'll call you when it's time to come back. It was the exact opposite. And, you know, we talked about events and things that we can do internally just to keep guys busy. Because, you know, 20-some-year-old guys aren't going to want to just sit around doing nothing.
So, Mark, and I asked Donnie this, and he mentioned that this would probably be something that's happening, but is there any testing of the Mavs player, staff, and coaches that's going to happen in the near term?
Not that I'm aware of, but we'll see what the NBA says. Because right now there's not enough tests to go around, but the number of tests will be expanding. And so, you know, anybody with symptoms, anybody with flu-like symptoms, anybody with a fever, we certainly will.
So those people that have been ill over the past few days on the Mavericks, we've seen on the injury reports, will those people be, tested right away?
I don't think any of them had a fever. I think they just weren't feeling well. And all of them resolved, right? So they were playing, et cetera. So, you know, typically if you have the virus, again, I'm not a doctor, I'm just repeating what I've been told. Typically if you have the virus and you have corona, you're going to get progressively worse. And if you don't, you know, if it's just a cold or whatever, you're going to get better. And so we'll, you know, that said, we'll communicate with the NBA. I'm not going to try to play doctor on TV here or radio. We'll deal with whatever protocol the NBA sets up.
Mark Cuban joining us here on The Ticket. One final thing, Mark. We're in just such uncharted waters here. Let's say that, and we kind of have to speak in hypotheticals because that's all we have in this part of the sea. Let's say that this takes a month, right? Let's say that that a month after this, that we feel like we flattened it, we've contained it, and it's to a point where people can gather in large areas again. Does the resumption of the season or the maybe perhaps immediate commencement of the postseason, do the owners or the teams have any sort of say or vote or consultation in that, or is it just handed down from the league?
No, I'd say we had consultation, obviously, and potentially a vote, but not necessarily. My best guess, and I'm just spitballing here, I don't know anything, obviously, would be that we'd play at least 7 games, because you don't want to go just right into the playoffs after not having played for some period of time. We'd lose, you know, Mavs have, 14 games left? We'd lose 5 to 7 games, and then start the playoffs and just go later. We wouldn't try to compress it at all. Because there's nothing that happens after, you know, our season's usually over June 12th, and there's nothing really going on from June 12th until Summer League across the sports world except for regular season baseball. And so I think that's an open opportunity for us.
Well, Mark, I do want to thank you personally for what you said about taking care of the workers. I talked to quite a few of them today, and there was definitely concern there, and I'm sure when that news gets out, that will ease them a great deal. And I want to thank you on an extremely busy and hectic night for joining us here tonight.
My pleasure, Brian. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
It's Mavs owner Mark Cuban here on The Ticket, breaking down the biggest news of the sports world for, I think, we can all say that any of us could probably ever remember. The NBA suspending its season due to the coronavirus, Rudy Gobert testing positive right before tip-off of the OKC-Utah Jazz game. I want to thank you, Jake, for coming in. I know you was supposed to be your night off. Thank you for coming up here. Mark Falwell, thank you so much for joining us and staying a bit longer than you normally do. And Brian, thanks for letting me try and fill in on a night that I can honestly say I was not prepared for.
I'm not sure we're going to let you fill in. This is your first Mavs postgame show. quite eventful.
Way to break in. And
thank you for being here.
It can only get easier, right, from here. But the Musers, 5:30 in the morning, they will break it down. And for the rest of the day, The Ticket will have complete coverage of the NBA suspending its season due to the coronavirus. Tune in tomorrow morning starting at 5:30. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you.
You've been listening to the Ticket's Dallas Mavericks postgame show, live from the Valor Burger Bar inside the American Airlines Center. Brought to you by Arthritis Relief Institute. Join us after every Mavs home game for a recap of the wins and losses with Jake Kemp, Mark Folwell, and Brian Damaris. We now rejoin our regular scheduled programming, already in progress, on KTCK AM Dallas Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound.